Alan. We have Officer Alan Dubois of the Sandusky Police. Is that, or what is it? The Norwalk Police or what? Or you're currently under suspension for brutality, right?
Well, no, I planted some drugs on a couple people, and, well, they took offense to that, but I thought it'd make a good case and stand up in court, and just didn't work out.
So call us here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show and talk to a cop. That's right, Officer Alan Dubois of somebody's police force is here tonight. What's your rank?
Patrolman
Dubois. All right.
So 749-1444. There's a phone number. Call him up. He'll answer any and all questions regarding law. He'd prefer not to be insulted too personally. So, keep him kind of vague if you're going to insult him. Try not to get personal. But ask him anything like, come here, officer. What do we call you? What do you want us to call you tonight? Officer, Alan, Fred, what? Okay, Al, how big was Norwalk, the city that you patrolled?
Approximately 20,000 people.
And approximately where is this city located?
It's located between Sandusky and Mansfield.
So it's up north, you're saying?
Right.
Okay, how many people are on the police force?
22,
and how much did you get paid entry salary?
Entry salary is $23,000.
So $23,000 is not a little, but then it's not a lot, so you really don't just go into it for the money.
No, you sure don't.
Do you have any special training for this?
I have an associate's degree in criminal justice. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology.
Did you get that associate's degree from Sally Struthers through the mail?
No, it wasn't Sally Struthers. Another mail order program, though.
All right, there you go.
And
what other kind of degree do you have?
I'm certified through the state of Ohio.
Okay, and you have a sociology degree?
That's correct.
Do most cops have some kind of college degrees?
Most cops have a high school diploma.
Really? Did you make more money than other cops because you had a college degree?
That's negative.
That's a negative?
That's affirmative.
How about that? So why did you want to join the police department? What made you want to join the police department?
Sounds kind of cheesy, but I like working with people.
Aww. So why didn't you work in like a Kmart or something?
Oh, I did for a short time. I worked at Sears.
Oh, there you go. You want to jump in on this? Okay, 749-1444. I'll be back with more questions, but we'd like to take yours on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
next best thing. Sure, there's many times you wanted me to hear your secrets. But we are afraid to say the words that are moving. Anytime you wanna tell them to me, it's just a fantasy. It's not the real thing. It's just a fantasy. It's not the real thing. Sometimes a fantasy is all you need.
Just a fantasy.
It's just a fantasy.
It's not the real thing.
It's not the real thing.
It's just a fantasy.
It's just a fantasy.
It's not the real thing.
It's not the real thing.
It's just a fantasy.
It's just a fantasy.
It's not the real thing.
It's not the real thing.
It's just a fantasy.
It's just a fantasy.
It's not the real thing.
You gotta be really cool to play music like that and still be cool.
That describes us perfectly.
Really cool. So we're talking to Al, a former cop. So what happened? You're laid off now? Budget cut?
No, my wife got a better job in a different area. She makes another half of what I do. It came down to her job or mine.
So she's clocking in at 36 a year?
Approximately, yeah.
Wow. That's not bad at all. 749-1444 is the phone number if you want to jump in on this. It's the Crabbers, the Chris and Rob.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we're
Chris and Mumble Rob. Mouth. Okay.
That's right. Alan, have you ever been involved in any really, real exciting, death-defying high-speed car chases with criminals and fugitives from justice?
Well, I've been involved in high-speed foot chases.
High-speed foot chases?
Uh-huh.
Tell me about one of them.
Okay, high-speed foot chase. I'll tell you what, in a small town like Norwalk, not a lot happens. It's not like watching cops on
How
TV.
How big is Norwalk?
About 20,000 people. It's not really big. I was working one night, and there's a truck coming towards me. It only had one headlight. Pretty routine. You just stop him and say, how you doing, sir? Just for your information, you got a headlight out and get it taken care of. I hit the overhead lights and flipped around, and he took off on me, went around the corner.
The bastard.
Well, at that point, who do you think he was? At that point, what did you think he was running from?
At that point, I thought he had stolen the truck because it had out-of-state plates. A lot of people run stolen vehicles through.
Oh, I see.
So I went after him, went around the corner, and I lost him. I wasn't sure where he went, and I looked behind the building, and he's back there. He jumps out of the vehicle and takes off running. So I said, hey, hang on there a minute, and he kept on running with his buddy.
You said, hang on there a minute?
Basically.
Do you ever say stop in the name of the law?
I'll stop or I'll drop you where you stand or something like that?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I said, please stop, sir. It would behoove you greatly, I think is what I said.
Okay, so what happened then?
He didn't stop, and I'm not going to chase him through dark yards, and I really wasn't sure what was going on, so I took his truck.
You took his truck?
Yeah, I took his truck.
Where'd you take it to?
I had it towed away.
Satan, you're on the air with Chris and Rob.
Hey, what's going on? So you guys got a cop there or something?
Something like that.
Something like that. What, so just ask a question or like make up a topic or something? So
anything you want, Satan. It's an open forum.
Alright. How does the cop feel about, let's see, like kids making a, pot? In their own house and that, in their yard and that,
Okay. Officer Dubois, what do you think about kids making pot and stuff in their yards and in their homes and stuff like that?
Kids making pot in their home. I'll tell you what, I myself, there's two types of crimes, mail in say and mail a prohibita. One is wrong because you're hurting other people, and one's just wrong because it's prohibited by law. I don't really have a problem with people doing drugs.
Okay, cool.
As long as, if they're not hurting anyone else.
Not if they're going out on the street going, hey man, you want a quarterback?
Right, if they're bothering other people, if they're doing it at home, and they're not hurting anybody, I really don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, like Satan doesn't do drugs.
That's myself.
Okay, let's think of something else to ask you here. Let's see.
Satan, do you often refer to yourself in the third person? Do you often like talk about yourself like you're someone else? Like, instead of saying I, you say Satan.
Well, I don't know. I'm a messed up character. You gotta meet me and understand me, really.
Okay, speak up a little bit there, Satan.
Yeah, you gotta meet me understand me. I'm not crazy, but I'm kind of, you know, a weird person.
Okay, great. You got any more questions?
God, let's see here. How about, so I'm sitting at the Niners and that, you know, like this little kid gives a story, and like, say, like, 11 or 12 wants to buy a pack of cigarettes, and, like, you know, somebody, like, reports on that, like, you know, like, what's going on about, like, that, you know?
Well, Officer Dubois, what do you think? Should little kids smoke cigarettes?
I'll tell you what, it's not illegal for kids under the age of 18 to smoke cigarettes. They're not allowed to buy them, but they can smoke them. It's not illegal for them to smoke them.
Well, that's cool. Well, thanks for your support, and Satan will send his blessing.
All right, baby.
Thanks, Satan.
Bye.
See if you can top that. 749-1444. The lines are now open.
Satan sent his best. That's always a nice way to start the show, isn't it?
Thank you.
Okay, Officer Dubois.
Oh, okay.
What?
I took his truck, and I had it impounded, and then I ran his plate and found out...
Yeah.
Oh, found out who the truck belonged to, and I just kept it. I mean, he's going to come after his truck sooner or later. So, then I ran it. Turned out there was a warrant for his arrest also, and he had a big blade in the back of the truck. What else? He was driving without privileges.
What, he had a scythe?
He had a blade. It's probably a...
Like a big sickle or something? Cut down grass?
That's the newspaper up in Toledo, isn't it?
Right, the blade. He had a blade, a big bundle of the blade. I had a 12-inch knife sitting in the back there. I didn't have a problem with that either because he didn't have it on him. So he called up the next day and asked where his truck was, like he didn't know. And so we told him, well, if he came up and talked to me, we could maybe figure out how he could get his truck back. So he came up a couple days later, and he was arrested for the warrant, and I went over and talked to him, and he said that he didn't remember at all what happened because he went out to buy some paint that day. He went to the paint shop, and he must have ingested some fumes or, you know, inhaled them, and he didn't remember anything. So I said, okay, well, did you know you were involved in a fight and you knifed a guy pretty bad? And he goes, well, if you say I did, then I did. And I said, well, no, I'll tell you what happened. You were driving. I saw you driving. And he goes, you did, huh? And I said, yeah, I did. So I gave him a ticket for driving under suspension. I let him slide on the CCW. I usually cut him a break.
What's CCW?
Carrying a concealed weapon. If you have a weapon readily available at hand, is what it is. And he had the knife. It was, in the trunk is not.
In trunk is not, okay.
In trunk is not.
So that's it?
What about hidden in the hubcap? Is it the CCV then?
CCW?
CCW.
Right, the words correspond with the initials. Carrying a concealed weapon.
Well, thanks for correcting me on that, Ossifer.
That's no problem. No. So, he got his truck back.
So who was this guy? Was this like a celebrity? Andy Williams or somebody?
No, it wasn't Andy Williams. Did I tell you about the time I pulled over Adam West?
Well, hold on. Finish this story, then go on to the Batman story.
Well, I don't remember the rest of the story now. I think that was it.
Okay, Andy Williams did hard time. Go. Now, what happened to Batman? You met the Batman?
Well, I hate to tell you now, to be brutally honest, it was not the Batman. It was a individual with the same name as Batman, Adam West.
Oh.
All these time I've been fooling my good friend Christopher and told him that it was Batman's signature. It's just Adam West, A. Adam West.
Bummer.
Now he knows because I was asked point blank.
749-1444 is the phone number. If you want to talk about any of this stuff or anything, we got a real live cop in here.
If you don't mind, I believed you. You said you pulled over Adam West.
His name
Batman,
was Adam West.
And he was
that
driving the Batmobile. I believed you.
Well, his name was Adam West.
But he wasn't the same Adam West from the TV show?
Oh, no, not the same character. It was Adam West, though.
You son of a bitch.
I was brutally honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Brutally honest.
I said, you mean the same Adam West as Batman? You said, uh-huh.
Did I say yes or uh-huh?
You said, uh-huh.
I don't know if that is the same as yes, is it?
Either way, it was a white lie. Either way, okay? 749-1444, this is a talk show, and don't forget, you're the star of the show.
So, Adam, Officer Al, what percentage of cops would you say, from your experience, are just power-hungry control freaks? And how many of them are like you, they like people, and they want to serve the public? Where do you think the percentage comes in at?
95% like people, like serving the public. 5% are probably power hungry. It all has everything in the whole world, everything you do has something to do with control.
Uh-huh.
Even you doing this radio show, you like to have a little bit of control. Everyone else has control of their life.
Uh-huh. Well, that's control over your life, not controlling others.
Are you trying to say Chris and Rob are a couple of power-hungry freaks?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that observation. Okay, so what percent of cops that come in clear-minded, like yourself, and then after a few years get so jaded they just like really be, just like hate everybody?
Well, they don't hate everyone. I think they...
Well, did you know any cops like that who seemed to be really cool cops when they were younger, then they just seemed to get older and they just met so many morons and jerks that they started hating everyone?
I'll tell you what, they talk to you at the station or in the car. Uh-huh. It's just between you and him. It's just cop talk, and they might talk. But when they get out on the street, they're real professional. I think they do a good job, a large percentage. It's not an easy job. You see a lot of stuff.
What's the stupidest thing you ever saw? What's the stupidest crime you've ever heard committed?
Stupidest thing? I've gotten a child down from a tree that called 911. I had to climb up in the tree and get him down. I had another person that called, and they had a blue jay on their back porch. He was dive-bombing them because they had a nest. I went and took the nest and moved it. I had someone else that called and said the duck next door was attacking him. I went and told the neighbor to...
Hold on. Those ducks are meaner than hell.
Oh, yeah.
Ducks
that
can
duck
be real mean.
Okay,
go ahead. So the duck's attacking this person.
So I went up and told the people to keep their duck under control.
Man.
That was it.
Is anybody just like... You pulled over anybody, they just like called you pig and all that stuff?
Nah, they're usually pretty courteous.
Really?
They probably say it as they drive away.
Have you ever let a woman off because she like hiked her skirt on a speeding ticket?
No. When they
has that ever happened to you? First of all,
no.
Not they. You've never been.
If they bat their eyelashes, they usually get a ticket.
Oh really?
Oh.
Oh man. Okay.
So if you bat your eyelash at me, there, Rob, you get a ticket.
Hey.
Even though you are cute.
Because there's no parking on the dance floor. Gene, go ahead.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Gene, you have to speak up a little bit.
How's that?
All right.
How about them Bearcats?
How about them Bearcats? You got a question for the cop?
Okay, we're not talking basketball.
Oh,
we're talking basketball. Gene, if you want to talk basketball, Chris and Rob will talk about basketball with you. What is it you want to know about basketball?
Who the fuck they got that for?
Who's what?
Who would have thought they got that? Who would have thought that they would have got that for?
Who would have thought the Bearcats? Who would have thought? Rob and I thought that they did.
I didn't think.
You didn't think so? Rob and I did. You know, all these guys that are playing for the Bearcats now, they're going to be playing for NBA teams here not too long from now.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't follow it enough to know who's who, but some of them I know are going to go into the NBA. And when they do, they're not going to have to dribble the ball anymore because they're going to make so much dough.
Well, somebody has to do it, I guess, huh?
I guess.
Now I got a question for the Osprey.
Hold on, Chris. Hold on, Gene.
All right.
Chris, I need some really stirring patriotic music.
Right now?
Right now. Do it! Do it! Do it!
Hang on, hang on.
Do it!
Hang on.
I can't hang on. Hey, did you see the Duke-Kentucky game, Gene?
Oh, my God.
Okay, listen.
Wait a minute.
Did you see it with 8 minutes, 9 seconds remaining in the regulation when Christian Laettner stomped that guy?
Should have been thrown out.
He should have been. Well, I wrote him a letter. And Chris is going to give me stirring background music to accompany this letter.
He should have been thrown out.
Thank you. Oh, that's perfect. You did it, man. That's why Chris makes twice as much as me for producing. Christian Laettner, care of Duke University Athletic Department, Durham, North Carolina. Dear Mr. Laettner, by the time you receive this letter, you and your Blue Devil teammates will already have finished the NCAA tournament. You'll either be champions for the second straight year or you will fall short. I hope you experience the latter. Duke bashing is an activity from which I have always refrained. Coach K seems to be a very classy guy, and if you and your teammates were so cocky, it's because you were so good. My attitude changed over the last few minutes of regulation in the Kentucky game when you maliciously stomped on the chest of a fallen Wildcat. Your action was an outrage and one of the most despicable, vile, and base acts I have seen committed in amateur athletics. Of course, CBS and ESPN glossed over it, but a nation of basketball fans saw you show your true cowardly colors. Everyone who saw the play knows that you should have been tossed out of a game and perhaps even suspended for a game like Rod Sellers was, I'm sure you remember. One wonders how the media would have reacted if it was Alonzo Mourning or Lawrence Funderburk who would have committed such a treacherous act. My guess is they would have reacted differently. This country loves constructing heroes. As you well know, how you play on the court is no longer enough. You are held accountable for your attitude while playing and off-court activities as well. The euphemism for cheap shot artists like yourselves and Don McLean seems to be competitive, and it infuriates me to see people with the proven ability you have sink so low.
The networks and adolescent girls may love you, but everyone can plainly see what a low thug you really are. It wouldn't bother me if you shortly suffered a career-ending knee injury. If that doesn't happen, I hope you at least mature and quit acting like a spoiled, whining brat. A former Duke fan, Rob, and you're not getting my last name.
I like it.
Can I sign your name to that, too?
Yeah, put it down there.
Okay, I will.
Put it down there.
Me and Chris, if you'll remember, on our first show said, look, the Bearcats are going to the Final Four. You look at the tapes. Chris, you've got the tapes, right?
Yep.
We reviewed them last night. That on our very first broadcast, we said the Bearcats are going to the Final Four.
Well, I got to hand it to you because you're right.
That was a hell of a tirade, Rob.
Yeah, I like that. That guy's a jerk, man. But anyway, can I ask my question?
Go ahead, ask the cop a question.
Officer? Oh.
Go ahead.
How you doing?
That's your question, how you doing?
Huh?
Gene, that was your question, how you doing?
No.
You wanted to ask his question, and that's all it was? How you doing? You can come up with a better question than that.
You guys just give me a chance.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said a question.
I said some question.
I didn't know you want to bombard him.
No, that's what I'm always wanted to ask.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Are you through there? Oh.
Hey, Gene, you know I'm a power freak, and I can hang up, but I won't because I dig you. Go ahead.
Yeah, have you ever done any traffic duty, as far as on the highway and stuff like that?
Well, that's my sole job was traffic duty. Okay. If you're not answering calls, you're running traffic.
All right. What's the basic rule? I guess it's 65 up through there, most of it. If you're say you're going, and will you bust somebody for doing 68 or something like that? Or 70. Actually, you don't seem like you would. I might be wrong.
I'll tell you what. There's no basic rule. A lot of guys have a rule of thumb. I always give them 15 over at least. So if it's 55, I'll give them up to 70.
Cool. That's great. Really?
Oh, yeah. That's the way I was. I might stop them and warn them, but I won't give them a ticket.
Man.
I usually give them 15.
Because the reason I asked that, I was watching the news one time. They're talking about that new laser radar they got up.
The Doppler radar?
Huh?
The Doppler radar?
No. The other kind. With the laser and all that junk, where they can pick a car out and everything.
Right, and point it right at the car and get the reading back, yeah.
And one of these cops, he had a car, and up through there, the speed limit's 65, and the reading came back, and it was 67 or something like that. He pulled the guy over for 2 miles and over the limit. I thought that's pretty petty.
Now, I really don't think if he took that into court, it would stand up. There's a margin of error on either side. With the Doppler system, the old radar units, there's a margin of error because it'll bounce back off a sign. If you have a motorcycle next to a semi, you'll get the reading off the semi because it's such more mass. You won't get the motorcycle faster. You'll get the faster vehicle. You could get your own vehicle sometimes. If I'm doing 35, it'll bounce back off a sign and get me. If you're going below 20, the officer's vehicle, the patrol vehicle, has to be doing over 20, or it'll add the officer's vehicle to the other vehicle. So if he's doing 35 and I'm doing 18, it'll say, 55.
Well, I was just surprised the fact that he'd even pull somebody over for doing, if it's two over or under, if he's pulled somebody over for doing 69.
Well, that was on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those control freaks that I was talking about. That's one of the 5%.
He's showing off for the camera or something.
Basically, I don't think he would cite that individual. I think he's just showing you that instrument is accurate, and if it says 68, it's 68. I don't know how accurate it is. It's state-of-the-art, and we don't have it.
I thought the guy was a jerk.
Yeah.
One more question. When I was just about ready to drive, I was 15, 16 years old. Before I went out with my friends the first time, my mom pulled me over. She told me, if you get stopped anytime tonight or forever, just be very cooperative and all that kind of stuff, and things will take care of it. So, yeah, start acting belligerent, and they'll pull you out of the car and do a Rodney King on you.
My dad used to always tell me if a cop pulls you over, poke him in the eye.
But I was figuring they'd train you to put your hand up between your nose so you can block it like you're doing three students. With that high-tech training.
Right. People with longer fingers, I use both my hands.
Just to protect those corneas.
Right.
He brings up a good point, though, Gene. You brought up a good point. How much does attitude play in whether you ticket someone or not? You said if a woman bats her eyes at you like she's kind of flirting, then bam, she gets a ticket right away. So how much does attitude play?
Yeah, what if she starts licking her chops?
She gets a piece of paper to take home.
What if it's a guy just Hey, man, what'd you pull me over for? I wasn't going too fast. Would you give that guy a ticket as compared to the...
I'll tell you what, most people are like that. No, that's pretty nice.
What if she says she loves a man in a uniform?
Oh, I hear that all the time.
What if she make all kinds of gun jokes, like is your gun loaded and all that stuff?
Right, and I'll tell her how many rounds.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Man, you do that stuff? I tell you what. Okay, so say someone's like, okay. Hey, Gene, you through?
Yeah, I'm basically done.
Okay, thanks a lot, Gene.
I'm over my cold now. I don't know if you noticed or not.
Yeah, you sound great. Look for an Indiana UC final.
Indiana UC?
Yeah.
I say UC by 3.
Okay. It's Gene, the loving machine. 749-1444. Okay, so say someone's at your like your borderline. You're doing patrol, 35-mile-an-hour zone. They're doing, what would be, like 45. So, like, you could give them a ticket, or, you know, if you gave them a ticket, you wouldn't be a real jerk, but you could let them slide. So, say, how much would their attitude play on whether they get a ticket or not?
Usually, I make my decision before I even walk up to the car. Their attitude has nothing to do with it.
Oh, so even if they're real belligerent, but you just decided you're not going to give them a ticket, they won't get a ticket?
Right. You should make the decision when you walk up there. It should be made before you walk up there.
Does that depend on your mood?
If I'm in a bad mood before I go into work, I usually take some time and relax. You really have to go out there and be friendly. You have to like people. And you have to work with them. You're out there trying to make the world a better place for everybody.
So if you're in a bad mood, you like stop off, have a few belts before you go into work.
Right, smoke a joint.
That way you're more laid back.
Right.
John from the future, you're on with the Real Live Cop.
Hello. Morning.
Hello, John.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Am I projecting? All right.
Yeah, speak loud, though.
Okay. Is that good?
Very good.
Okay. I have a couple questions for Officer Allen. Officer Al, you were saying earlier how you planted some drugs on somebody.
I think that was a joke.
Oh, was it? Okay.
That's strictly humor, bud.
Okay, I...
Okay, John?
Yeah.
What's your second question?
Can't think of it now.
Okay, call us back when you think of it.
All right, cool.
Great. That was John without a question. All right, 749-1444 is the phone number on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Talk to a real live cop. Give us a call.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirt? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around in.
Always seemed to you that it sounded more like a dog than a pig there at the very end.
Woof woof. You're listening to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris and this is Rob.
And we're talking to a real live pig in just a moment. He's code 7, I think is what they say on Adam 12.
Code 7?
Code 7, I think, is on Adam 12 when they have to go, they have to take a break. Cops are humans too.
believe it or not.
Barely. Now that he's gone out of the room, I can just tell you, I hate cops. They are just the worst.
Do you really think he gives people 15-mile-an-hour bulge on the speed limit?
No, I think he's just saying that to get the people out in Radioland to, like, think he's not such a bad guy after all.
He's sucking up.
But I think when he's in his blue uniform again, I think he's a bigger prick than ever.
Did you see that little Hitler mustache he has?
Yeah. Funny-looking dude, isn't he?
It is. Go ahead, Dragon.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
We love you, baby. What's up, Dragon?
Well, I had two questions for the cop, but now he's gone.
Well, he'll be back momentarily.
He'll be back momentarily. You know, he's got a little cop business to attend to.
Okay, well,
But you know what? While he's out of the room, we can say anything we want about him.
He's got empty
What do you think of this dude?
I'd rather not say, because I grew up in Norwood where cops are real bad.
Oh, tell me about it.
The worst.
Mm-hmm.
Where are cops bad in Norwood?
Well, there are more accidental hangings in that jail in the past 20 years than the entire state of Ohio, probably.
I tell you what, you got to watch out for those accidental hangings. I mean, you slip in a shower and hang yourself. Happens all the time. People fall down the steps in Norwood all the time, I've heard.
Yeah, and the jail's on the first floor, too. That's real tough.
Hey, you know how I always found that you're not working in a place that you want to make a career of?
Shh, he's back.
If you go into a job site, right, and you take your first break...
Yeah.
And people in there are comparing notes about what kind of jail uniforms they wore. You know you might not want to make a career of that place.
I've worked at a couple places like that.
Hey, man, I like the orange ones that they have in Hamilton County. That's none compared to the good ones in Montgomery. Hey, we've got Dragon on the line for you, Officer Allen.
Officer Dubois is back in the studio. We were just talking about what a fine, upstanding asset to society law enforcement professionals are. And, Allen, Dragon has a question for you.
Yes, I actually have two questions. The first one... The driver's side window on my car does not roll down. So if I get pulled over, what do I do? I mean, I can't open the door or they're going to shoot me right away. So, you know, what do I do here?
No, I don't think they're going to shoot you right away.
They're going to pull their guns, I bet.
They did on me once. I got pulled over in downtown Toledo once. And I thought, hey, it's raining out. I'll be a nice guy. I'll get out of the car, walk up to their car, and they'll appreciate it so they won't have to get wet. I got out of my car and it's like, freeze! And I froze.
No, they don't appreciate that. It's the area, the vehicle you're driving, type of person, what you look like, stuff like that is what they take into account. If I were you, I'd just keep your hands in plain sight, talk through the window, say, my window doesn't open. If you'll step back, I'll open my car door.
Okay.
No problem.
And then open your car door real fast and hit them right in the groin.
And then peel out, right, yeah. And the second question is, I was going to buy you guys milkshakes this morning. What flavor do you want?
Chocolate.
Strawberry.
Eggnog.
They don't have eggnog anymore. It's out of season.
Where are we going? McDonald's? You going to McDonald's with this or UDF?
No,
UDF?
I'm going to UDF next door.
Hold on. You know where we're at?
Yes.
I'm frightened.
I've been in your studio many times.
No, Officer Al's got his shotgun.
He's packing, man.
Yeah, it's not full, not loaded with toilet. Okay, so you going to bring them over or what?
Yeah. What flavor?
We got strawberry
and chocolate.
Kid.
I'm a chocolate man. Rob's a strawberry man.
What about our guests?
And Jim's a eggnog man. We have two guests. What do our guests want?
Two vanillas.
They don't have eggnog anymore. It's out of season.
Improvise.
Okay.
Okay.
See you in about 30 minutes then.
See you, Dragon.
Bye.
Bye. 749-1444. The lines are now open.
So, Officer Al, has anybody ever, like, tried to pull anything on you? I mean, you know, like tried to beat you up or anything? Have you ever, like, you know, get in one of those fist fights, knock down, drag them out, fist fight?
I've been in bar fights before. You get to a bar fight and there's 20 people brawling. You just wade on in there.
Really?
Oh,
stick
yeah.
of flailing?
Well, I had my
what do you call that
restraining
stick?
Device.
What is that stick called nowadays?
No, we don't have tasers.
You got that zap gun?
Right, electronic restraining device.
Okay, what do you call your shtick nowadays? What's it called?
The
still a billy club?
No, it's PR-24.
PR-20, what's that stand for? Just police restraint?
Police restraint 24.
Something
like
that?
It's PR-24.
Oh, John from the future, you thought of your question, huh?
Yeah, I remembered it.
Okay, what is it?
You said you're a patrolman, right? Officer Al?
Right.
So you stop people for speeding and stuff like that. What's some of the best excuses you've heard?
Good question.
Speeding.
Mm.
Besides, like, oh, I'm pregnant or whatever.
Late for work. My mom's having surgery. I'm trying to get to the hospital. She was in an auto accident. Stuff like that.
I'd spilled hot coffee on my crotch and I couldn't help it.
No, none of those.
That's what I always
use. A lot of times
use.
You pull people over and all of a sudden another head pops up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That makes them drive faster when they get in a Hummer?
Well, I don't know if they're getting a Hummer. I think she was looking around for something on the floor.
No.
No?
No.
How do you decipher if they're legit or not? Excuses.
Usually you can tell.
Instinct?
Right.
Or it's pretty obvious.
Usually can tell. You sit there and chit-chat for a bit.
What's your favorite excuse, John, from the future?
I'm trying to get home before my ice cream melts.
That'll usually work.
Yeah.
That'll usually work.
Usually. If you don't have a bag of groceries in the back, then it'll
Hey, John, work. You know what a good one is?
What?
I have a little bit of gas, and I gotta get home before I run out. That's the one I always use.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
How about them Bearcats?
How about them Bearcats?
Go Cats!
Go Cats.
What?
I don't know. What about basketball?
You
got me. How about them that Jerry Brown? Came through with flying colors again tonight.
Oh, did you call him again?
No.
Call him again and talk to that one guy again.
Not tonight. Maybe next week.
Yeah, I know. You already have a guest.
All right. Thanks, John, from the future.
All right, see
ya. Bye. Hey, Al, I got a good question for you, Ossifer Al. Have you ever, watched that America's Most Wanted, Top 10 Most Wanted show?
No.
No? What's the biggest crook you ever got?
Biggest crook I ever got?
Yeah.
You mean it's a felony or
yeah, well,
guns
like,
involved
what,
or what?
What's your biggest bust? By the way, the phone number is 749-1444. What's the biggest bust you ever made, Alan?
What do you mean by biggest?
The biggest. The most.
What was involved?
Did you get John Gotti or you just got jaywalkers your whole career?
Oh, jaywalkers usually. Do you guys want to hear a story?
Yeah, let's hear a story. When'd you bust Gotti?
Oh, that was earlier this year. Let me think. There's something kind of simple. You get a call, it's 911, and it's disconnected. Usually that happens when the husband rips the phone off the wall or something. So we cruise on down there. I look in the back door. The woman's running around naked, and she's got blood all over the place. Big Doberman Pinscher. Knock on the door. She sees you, runs and gets her robe. I asked her to lock the dog up if she would. She lets me in. I'm there with my sergeant. And she says, it looks like my husband, he's run off. He's left. And I said, well, his boots are sitting right there. A lot of times they just want you to get there, you know, and clean it up. They don't want anyone arrested. They don't want the husband because that's her nookie and that's their money. Said, hey, there's his jacket and there's his boots. I don't think he went out in the snow. Well, where could he be? And she said, well, a lot of times he goes upstairs and locks himself in the closet. Sergeant goes, well, he doesn't have any guns up there or anything, does he? She goes, oh, yeah, he has a shotgun, a rifle. He has a lot of stuff up there. Okay, well, we're going to go up and talk to him. So I went to the side of the door, and you knock on the door from the side because you don't want a hole blown through the door and ultimately through you. So you ask him to come out. Let's do it the easy way, and he won't come out. You know, he's being real quiet. So my sergeant says, well, I put a bead on him. Because I don't think that you should shoot him, you know, if anyone has to, because he's done it before. So I got a screwdriver and took the hinges off the door. And we told him, hey, the door's going to come open, buddy. I want to see your hands and be real cool. So the door falls open, and he's standing there with his hands out. And, yes, he did have a couple guns in there. So it could have got hairy, but it really didn't.
That's it?
That's it.
David, you're on the air with Chris and Rob.
Hello?
David, your first-time caller?
Yes.
Welcome aboard. What's on your mind tonight, Dave?
What's the best time to get away with speed?
Officer, what's the best time to get away with speeding?
Depends when the shifts run. Over there, shifts are from 7 to 3, so the best time is 2:45 to 3:15. First shift's off, second shift hasn't come on yet.
What do you do when you're at a dead-end street and you got an officer chasing
you? Looks like you caught him.
Looks like you've been caught, Buster. Is that all you have on your mind?
Couldn't you run?
You could run. You could get out of your car and run for it, I guess, yeah. You could fight your way out of it.
If it's raining, is he going to really chase you like he would if it was dry out?
Oh, I get personal satisfaction out of catching people. I love to chase people. Love it.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. Uh-huh. 749-1444.
Getting back to this radar deal, is it true that they are least effective if, say, the suspect is going south and the cop is going north and they shoot you with the gun? Is it true that that's when they're least effective?
Well, is that because of the Earth's magnetic system, etc.? Never heard anything about it.
So therefore, listeners, if you're ever dragged into court, when you're going south and the cop's going north, or vice versa, or east and west, you can probably beat it because those radar detectors are really, really
inaccurate. Inaccurate when you're going that way. What's going on here with you? Nothing. Okay, cool. So did you like learning judo or anything while you were into being a cop?
We learned a little bit. It was just taught through the school, a little bit of martial arts.
Did you have to go through like a police academy deal where you went and lived there for 8 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever?
No, it was a couple months. So I didn't live there. I lived at home and just drove to this class.
What was it, like 9 to 5?
No, it was in the evenings, actually. A lot of guys were working as jailers, or they were doing that later. It ran from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and it went half of August, September, October, November, December, and half of January.
How much of it was physical stuff, push-ups, running, getting in shape?
Two nights a week, actually.
Really? Do cops sometimes... How much is that kept up? Do cops sometimes get, like, really fat and stuff?
If once you're hired on, you have to keep it up yourself. You do it yourself. If you're into any kind of physical regime, you do it yourself. They're okay. Not going to push you.
All right. And how about shooting? Marksmanship. How much do you regularly go to the range to keep up your marksmanship?
Well, you have to qualify twice a year. If you qualify twice a year and you can qualify twice a year without practicing, you're all set.
Can you ever go on the clock, go practice shooting?
No, you don't go on the clock. It's on your own time.
Really?
All right. Where I worked.
Oh, okay. So is that common, though? Do you know?
I used to practice. I used to come up to Toledo and practice.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are most forces like that where the cops have to practice on their own?
On their own time?
Yeah.
Probably the smaller departments are. I don't know if the bigger departments practice on company time.
749-1444 is the phone number. We're talking to a real live cop on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
City street, the bars are jumping, man, feel the heat. Friday night, summer month, no work tomorrow. Take your money up tonight, man, let it on your bar right on. Keep on riding, crank your bike, and ride on, angle right on. Outside a motorcycle, driving up slow. Running through my head.
not kill. But man, I heard that line before. If the Bible says thou shalt not kill, what excuse has the law?
You just heard from Simon Stokes and the Nighthawks, Ride on Angel, from the soundtrack to the movie Outlaw Riders. I love old Hell's Angels movies.
I remember that movie.
Alan, Officer Alan, have you ever killed a man?
No.
Have you ever pointed a gun at somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Threatened to kill him?
No.
Okay. Barney Fife is on the phone. Hello, Barney.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
I just want to know why the cops nowadays got to walk around with overloaded egos and everything like that. Thank you, God.
Alan, are you going to answer his question or are you chicken?
It's a pretty stupid question.
Ooh, Barney. Oh,
man, I don't know how you can classify a whole group of people under one category. That's like saying all blue-collar workers are dumb and stupid and people that call up radio stations are just ignorant and...
Watch it!
Hey, watch it, pal. No, seriously.
Hold on, Barney. Give us a specific example. When have you had a run-in with the law? Barney.
Yeah.
Have you had a run-in with the law recently that kind of got your dander up?
Oh, no. It was a little while ago.
Well, okay, what happened?
Well, they beat the shit out of me on the Covington Bridge.
Well, what'd you do?
Nothing. I was sleeping in the backseat of a car of a guy who got a DUI.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure Officer Al wasn't the one to beat you up.
Well, no, but I mean, this is the way they all act. It's not just over there in Kentucky, it's everywhere.
Right, I've had an experience where just because I was drunk, a cop provoked me into punching him. Well, he just said, go ahead, take a swing at me. Fortunately, my friend held me back, but his cop just kept saying to me, go ahead, take a swing at me.
Well, did he ask you nicely?
Yeah, he was polite about it. He said, go ahead, take a swing at me.
Okay.
Well,
I should have beat him to a pulp. I should have took his PR-46, shoved up his butt sideways.
Well, I mean, you got to look at. I mean, where's the Griffith mode for all these cops? You know, everybody's supposed to be friendly and your pal.
What's the Griffith mode?
I think what he's suggesting is, Alan, who is your psychological mentor? Like, when you decide to become a cop. Was Andy Griffith like one of your inspirations, or John and Punch?
John,
because Nature Boy.
Oh yeah,
Nature Boy John.
Yeah.
You know, or Ivan the Butcher. Who knows?
Anything else, David? No, Barney.
Huh?
Anything else, Barney?
Well, no. I just want to know what sets these guys off.
Well, you know, see, we've kind of covered that, Barney. We've decided. Where Officer Al has decided that about 5% or 1 out of every 20 cop is some power trip and egomaniac. So you obviously ran into one of those 5%.
Well, what do they do to weed these people out?
Hey, Bernie, let's be serious. What really did happen that night? You didn't do a thing. You just laid there and he grabbed you out and just beat you?
No, they dragged me out of the car and said, walk on home, and shoved me down the bridge, into the bridge. I asked them what was going on, and then the one guy said, well, yeah, you want to be smart about it? And then he said, you think we're hit cops? And then they... It looks like a WrestleMania free-for-all. That's what the guy in the back of the cop car said.
Did you get any good shots in?
No, not really.
Hmm. So you were beat to a pulp, huh?
Well, no, they broke my wrist.
They broke your wrist?
Then for a
Do you drink your milk? Do you drink your milk?
Do I drink my milk?
Right.
With
right, do you have strong bones and teeth?
Yes.
Okay, so it wasn't that then.
Well, I mean, it was just, you know, what was the deal?
Speak up a little bit, Barney.
What was the deal?
I think the deal was you just ran into one of those bad apples that infect all segments of society.
Well, I mean, isn't there some system to weed the bad apples out?
That brings up a good point.
Well, did you lodge a formal complaint with the Covington Police Department?
What am I going to do, call a cop?
Covington's Kentucky, huh?
Oh, yeah, County.
That's where you got beat up, though, right, Covington?
Bridge.
Well, now, what'd you say? What am I going to do? What did you call, like, the district attorney's office or the mayor's office?
And right. And they're going to give you Vaseline when they take your appointment, too?
Have mercy. You are cynical, aren't you?
Well, I was pretty bitter about the ordeal.
Well, I can understand your bitterness, but then you say we should be able to weed these guys out somehow. Well, and I think you do. Dude, what's his name? Do you want to say his name right now on the air?
Who?
That cop beat you up. Did you get his badge?
No, I don't know who he is.
Hey, listen to this, Barney.
Huh?
Did you get his shield number?
No.
I learned that from a Dragnet shield. Did you get his shield number?
I didn't. My Joe Friday techniques weren't coming in.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. Don't call the cops in. Call, like, the district attorney's office or the mayor's office and lodge a complaint.
Well,
cops are your servants.
You
cops are...
up your butt. That's what they're going to do to you.
Right. Well, these guys are your servants. You're paying their salary.
So why should you have to put up with this shit?
You shouldn't have to. That's what I'm saying. Complain. Besides complaining to us, complain to someone in
but
power.
Nobody you're going to call. I mean, start with Bush. He's the corrupt.
Okay, well...
Did you go to the hospital with your broken wrist?
Huh?
Did you go to the hospital with your broken wrist?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's documented and it was taken care of medically.
And it was x-rayed, everything.
I'd go ahead and talk to somebody about it.
Huh?
I said, if you have a legitimate gripe.
Who am I going to call? Leslie Isaiah Gaines?
Yeah. He'll write a song about it at least. Yeah, you're probably right. You know what'll probably happen, Barney, is it'll probably be your word versus the cop, and the cop's word will count, and not your word.
Well, of course, he'll have another one of his.
But
well,
listen.
He's a little drunk deviant, you know?
All right, but the point I want to make is maybe you'll lose, but then the next guy will lose, but then if he keeps doing it, somebody will eventually win and get him kicked off the force.
Somebody just go down there with a 9mm and pop the guy and solve the problem right now.
Whoa. Chris and Rob.
Sounds like you have some pent-up anger and frustration, huh?
Barney, you've changed over the years. Just go eat a pickle and relax.
I mean, it's all gone since, you know, Floyd left the barbershop.
And it has just gone downhill since Opie left the neighborhood. Thanks a lot, Barney. We got to move on. Barney with a 9mm. I wonder if he has the bullet in his pocket still. Okay, I have a question for you, Officer Al. You've probably heard about this. I don't know if it affected the Norwalk area too much. Seems in some neighborhoods, some of the richer neighborhoods, there have been instances just when, like, a black guy will go jogging through a white neighborhood, and that's considered suspicious behavior.